You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. This is a Fireside Chat weekly news brought to you by me, Lance White, and my lovely co-host, Serena. If you click on our show bio, the description for tonight's show, there are links to stories and videos that you might find interesting. I'll leave these up for a few days, so do check them out. And also, if you have any questions for the show for next week's show, we're going to continue this format, so write me at zanymystic59@yahoo.com. Now, let's welcome my new co-host to the show. Hi, Serena. How are you?
I'm good, Lance. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a little bit of a rocky few days. The solar flares have kind of wiped me out.
Yeah.
I've noticed some mental inacuity.
Yeah.
And
brain fry.
The astrology is very interesting right now too. And we're beginning this show, this weekly news show, under a fireside chat, in an auspicious note, because we're coming up on a major conjunction in 2 days. So we're in it right now. We're experiencing it. And, of course, many of you are following the third Pluto-Uranus exact conjunction of 7 conjunctions. The next one will be in November of this year, and the last one occurs in 2015. And these are kind of like cosmic bookends to other periods. The last time we had one was during the 60s. We had these conjunctions. By the time 2014 arrives, we have some alignments that Michael St. Clair has stated will most likely be alignments that will be creating a situation ripe for a Great Depression. So we have a lot of exciting things going on. A lunar eclipse in a couple of days. It looks like the matrix is acting up, and it doesn't look like this is all harp activity. There was an impact which caused a flash hitting the moon base yesterday, and an asteroid will come close before the end of the month. And, of course, the people who are supposed to know about these things say that, oh, there's no worry, don't worry, nothing to see here. But it's synchronistic that we're having this conjunction. And people who follow Cliff High's webbots also know that his recent webbot analysis is showing major earth disruptions, coastal events that are tsunami-like in origin, the internet going down. There's a blank spot that he hasn't been able to figure out of what's causing it. It could be solar flares. We're in the solar maximum right now. And then there's asteroid language showing up as well. So this is all happening in May, and we have just another couple of weeks to find out. So we don't have long, not like waiting for 2012. So is there anything that you've noticed this week that you thought was pertinent?
No, just aside from the solar flares, the Class X solar flares, which is something that I always respond to as soon as they happen. And we had 4 of them, so there was a lot of brain fry going on. And what happens with me is I experience major headaches, and nothing takes them away. It's just a matter of just letting, you know, time go by. But everyone I'm speaking to or hearing from or reading are experiencing either major headaches and extreme lethargy and tiredness and fatigue and exhaustion and heaviness and... It's just really interesting to hear all the comments coming in about this from people all over the place, all over the world.
Oh, yeah. I have had that experience also. And, for instance, today I was trying to get my my spring garden in, the vegetables this year, and it's like pulling teeth. Now, you and I both are, we both love to work in the garden. And it's inspirational most of the time, but the last few days it's been really difficult. I've had to come in and lay down for 10, 15 minutes, go back out, come back in, lay down. My mind has been kind of splintered, unfocused. And, well, what am I do now? Well, what about this? How do I do that? And
how do I walk in the house? Yeah.
Yeah. What's that all about? What's this sliding glass door thing? Gee, that must be new. So all kinds of stuff like that. And I think we're in a period of transition still, because we've turned the clock after 2012, and now we're in a new period, and the major shifts have not occurred yet, as I see it. The major shifts are still in process and building, and it looks like there's some kind of attempt, maybe by the galactics that run this wacky place, to make it easy on us and gentle. But I see some activity on the horizon that's going to be extremely disturbing for, a lot of people, especially people who are living in fear, because there are just so many running programs on the planet that are designed to create fear. Just about everything on the planet is set up this way. And I know
What are you seeing? What are you talking about? What are you seeing?
Well, there are technological programs that are used to milk fear. There are wars. There are false flag events like 9-1-1, the Boston event, anything where there's a lone gunman that kills a lot of school children and nobody can get to the bottom of it. That's a false flag event put on by the three-letter agencies designed to scare the bejesus out of us.
Right, and this is what you're saying you see in the horizon? You see this kind of...
I think Gaia Sophia is going to be pulling out her tricks out of the bag, because she trumps anything that's technological.
So
there are levels to this matrix, and there are higher matrices. There's a false light matrix that looks like light and love, and which has the ability to materialize in Mother Mary's and spaceships and this and that and the other thing. But there are levels beyond that which, can't be seen by the lower levels that are controlling this world and this universe. So I think those are going to start making their appearance this year. Very soon.
Well, we've been waiting for them for a while now, right?
Right.
Some people are talking about experiencing visitations from all kinds of beings, and I think I'm kind of thankful actually that I'm not one of those people
who
haven't experienced any visitation like that. But I think it is time that we start seeing some major changes. I mean, so many of us are so beyond exhausted. We just want to see something happen. There has to be a big game changer that happens. Like, a lot of us are just waiting for this right now. Like, we're taking our breaths. We're waiting for it to come and just looking around, hoping to see something, because some of us are just so tired. And, we're not talking about something negative again, not another false flag. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about something that annihilates the false flags.
Right.
And that's
exactly
the game changer we're looking for.
And that removes all of the psychological and technological controls, the mind control that's ongoing, all of those folks that are involved with false flags and taking over the world. I just read today from G. Edward Griffin's news. He has a weekly blurb called Unfiltered News, that the U.S. military operations are involved in scores of countries all across five continents. We are currently fighting 74 different wars that they will publicly admit.
That is insane.
It is totally insane, and that does not include all of the black military military bases that are underground, that are huge cities. I mean, some of these are luxurious They're luxurious pads for the elite to hang out, and they have maglev trains that take them from one place to another. You can get to the White House and to Russia and China and the rest of it. So if you have the right combination and you're in the in crowd, you know, you're living the life of Riley, and it's no wonder they continue to lord it over us, because we just won't say no. We've given our power away. We wanted to, you know, see what that was like, apparently. Well, this is what it's like. You have psychopaths that take over, and then they don't ever want to let go of control, and so they devise ever more clever ways to subjugate the humanity and, you know, microchip us with or without our awareness. You know, they couldn't get a microchip in us a few years back because there was too much attention on it. So now they're using chemtrails to install nanotechnology within our bodies. So,
yeah.
You know, people, and most people don't know that.
Yeah, I think some people are starting to see or suspect. I'm hearing some people say, you know, what is going on in my brain? I'm feeling something. I'm sensing something. You know, I don't know what it is. Could it be the chemtrails? Could it be nanotechnology? Or what is it? And then there's a lot of short-term memory loss with people.
Yes. Yeah,
and I know that the sun causes that as well. I know that strong solar flares can cause short-term memory. But it's happening, like, with a lot of people. And it doesn't matter their age, what they do, or where they are. But they're experiencing a lot of short-term memory loss, a lot, like daily. And this can be seen two ways. I mean, if it's the sun, I tend to think of it as a positive thing. But if it is chemtrails and the effects of chemtrails, then it would be like the goldfish that have 10-second, you know, memories, right? I mean, you don't know the horror that just took place 10 seconds ago when you were running for your life, and now you're just looking for food 10 seconds later, and you don't know what happened, and that kind of keeps you docile, right? If it's the dark forces using something like this, because it keeps you from being resistant, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I really don't know how to look at that. I'm not sure. I have to think about that one.
Yeah, I'm still working on that one myself. But we do know that nothing that is beneficial for us would be kept from us and would be kept in the dark. In other words, we know, all of us know, and most of us listening to this show know, that the chemtrails are being distributed worldwide, and we know that what they're made of. We've watched the chemtrail videos and movies that have been put out, and we know that they're not good. So if they were something positive for humanity, somebody would be stepping up and saying, we're doing this, or we'd like to do this, and we'd like your permission to seed the skies with these wonderful new technologies, because, A, we can use it for military purposes, B, we can microchip you, C, they dumb you down. See, they won't tell you those things. So because it's done in private and in secret, that tells us immediately it is not something beneficial. And that's really one of the ways that I use to decide if something is harmless or if it is intentionally a dark and being used for purposes that we probably wouldn't permit if we knew. So, and there is a positive little note here that I thought was fun, because we're learning how to fight back. We're learning how to take charge of our lives again, and people are coming up with really creative new ways. For example, there is a new free app for your phones called BiCot, which allows you to use your Android or iPhone to analyze products and determine if you're supporting Monsanto's GMOs, big food companies who are damaging your health, or simply low-quality products. The new app is designed by Darcy Berner, a former Microsoft programmer and congressional candidate, like an all-knowing friend who reminds you not to get that pair of yoga pants because DuPont Chemical, also a subsidiary of Koch Brothers, makes the Lycra in them, or to choose that bag of carrots over this one because there's no GMO in it. If you thought fair trade hang tags Hang tags were a way to keep a watchful eye on corporate greed and environmental negligence, then get a load of the new app that just scans a barcode and tells you if it's safe or not. And it will even go to the origins of the companies who fund it. So, you know, we're using the technology. We're learning how to use the technology that's designed to enslave us and take our attention away from us. And cell phones keep you in a fog of electronic energy. It's really a cocoon from cell towers. So it's not enough that they put fluoride in the water and a thousand other things. It's not enough that atomic nuclear waste is flying around the world, hitting all of us at the same time and creating genetic defects, or that the oil slicks are still pumping oil in New Orleans, and nobody's going to tell you about it.
Is that true? So, is that really true?
That's what I've heard, that some of those leaks are still putting out oil, and they've never accounted for that. It was all whitewashed. And, have you heard anything about it since?
No.
The last thing I heard was that there were...
I thought it was contained. I read somewhere that it was still leaking, and I said, oh, my God, this can't be possible. And I searched online, and I saw something about it being contained, but that it was not still gushing out oil. So I honestly don't know. That's scary.
Yeah, well, you know, we're dealing with liars. The people who run this world are liars and psychopaths.
Absolutely,
and,
all the way.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. It doesn't even take a psychic or a brain surgeon to figure this out anymore. And you see the term psychopath cropping up all over the place because they are all over the place. They are intentionally moved to positions of power. They are put in top executive positions. They're groomed. They're pulled from colleges, colleges where the wealthy put their children. And they're groomed from colleges that are, you know, where there are people who stand out, who are geniuses. They pluck them out. And then they, you know, once they're in the employ of these people who have all the money in the world because it's our money, they can, you know, lavish it on them. And if they... rebel, you know, they're either killed or their families are injured or, you know, some other horrible thing happens. So, everybody has to sign a disclosure agreement. And, you know, that's the direction that this country is moving in. And I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel like a lot of New Agers do. I see a possibility of it going in that direction or going in other directions if we wake up and start to take actions that are consistent with loving, caring, real-souled beings that care about the planet and care about each other. Nobody that cares about somebody would kill a living being, let alone a human being, or rape them, or pillage or cut their hearts out and swallow the blood. I mean, these are the kinds of things that are going on all over the world. The pedophile industry, it is an industry. And the worst people that are running it are the ones that are the royal families. The Queen Elizabeth, Queen Beatrix of Netherlands. Netherlands is a hotbed of pedophile activity. They control all of the
Thailand. It's the sports industry. It is known that the football season is a time where the kidnapping of children, the rate of kidnapped children goes skyrocket because they start kidnapping children for the football season trafficking time. And it's in all the Asian islands, and it's everywhere. It's completely worldwide. It's not the Netherlands, Queen Beatrix has abdicated.
It's not isolated in Canada.
Elizabeth, it's a male dominated industry. It's there to serve the male industry. That's what it's there for.
Yes. And they use children, male and female.
Right.
And mostly male.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, because of the blackmail factor.
I've been researching this for a very long time, and it's definitely an industry that is set up for the male. Absolutely.
And then, yeah, and then you have, that sounds like a reptilian kind of activity.
Absolutely.
Then you, yeah, doesn't it? And archons, too. I hate to give them the credit of that name, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. I noticed that our friend over at Exopolitics, Alfred Lambermont Weber, had this on his blog today. Kevin Annette, who has led a 20-year campaign to expose the trafficking of children and bring criminal charges against the Vatican and other churches, will be speaking at a press conference on Thursday, May 23rd at 11 a.m. in Savona at the Libreria in Italy. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize last month by American and Canadian scholars to honor his tireless effort on behalf of children and other victims of crimes against humanity.
Right.
And so he is almost, you know, alone. It's like the one person who stepped up, like the person who was in Tiananmen Square and stopped those huge rolling tanks, you know. The one person that really stands out that said, I am the one who is saying no. I am the one who is going to say this is not right. My conscience will not permit this any longer, and right. I am going to go down fighting for what I know is the truth and for what is right. And protecting children from rape and abuse and kidnapping is the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and
that's
the church,
a rare person. Rare.
And so, you know, the Vatican has been shielding all of these people because it's all the way up at the top. Now, here's another alternate connection. All of the banks have connections with all of these cabals and with all of the mafia and family-run organizations because, I shouldn't call it family-run, but those who run the illegal drug and sex trades. And all that money has to go into the banks. So there's your tie into the banks and the large institutions that are washing that money. They have to know this. And they use those people, and then the people use them. They're all in bed together. Mm-hmm. The criminal families and the royals and the CEOs of the oil companies and the rest of it, of all companies around the world, all of this is linked together. And they are squeezing the net so that, you know, we will not be able to fight back. And that's what all of these new laws and regulations and all the fear and the terror is for, is to keep us in balance so that we can't get our footing, we can't communicate. And when we're fighting with each other through this group or that group, you know, because this group doesn't like that group, we can't unite on anything. So they keep us fighting with each other. And that's how they get us to forget the really important issues, like the fact that, you know, trillions of dollars are going into war still when all that money could be used to beautify the planet, to heal the planet, to bring people up instead of shoving them down and then eliminating them through vaccine programs and HIV and AIDS and false virus programs. You know, there are numerous agendas to get rid of a population on our planet, and it's working. And the ones that continue to live, that hang on, they simply go to the doctors and the hospitals and get their pharmaceuticals and support the pharmaceutical industry. They got us every which way, every which way, and then some. So, one of the things that I can't understand why people don't do it is to take their monies out of the banks. The banks are criminal organizations. They are robbing us blind. They're going to be confiscating everybody's funds pretty soon. You can count on that. They're doing it over in Europe. And if people took their money out of the bank, that worthless paper money that has no real intrinsic value, and simply converted it into real tangible things that can help their family. If you have enough money, you can buy a little piece of land. You can buy food for difficult times, replace some of the vehicles that are breaking down. There's all kinds of things that we can do. We can help each other. You know, there are people that are hanging on to hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in accounts that will never, ever be unlocked. that energy lies dormant. It's not being used. It's just sitting there because we're afraid we're going to not have enough. Well, how much is enough? You know, is 500,000 enough? A million enough? 10 million? A billion? 500 billion? It's never enough. Once you get 500 billion, then your friends say, well, I've got a trillion. You should see my pads all over the world. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And and your heart shuts down, and we stop caring about each other. I saw a little snippet where some movie star had somebody arrested near her $20 million mansion because he was swimming too close in the ocean to her property. So, you know, the world is terribly divided, and we need to start taking care of ourselves, especially those people who have a spiritual quality and who aren't locked into this running program of greed and psychopathic, thoughtless, heartless actions that just rip the life out of the planet. You know, Monsanto being one of the most obvious with their GMO foods and their chemicals and the rest of it. It's, you know, these are blowbacks from Project Paperclip, people that were established over here that still have a Nazi agenda.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't believe that that's still happening. First of all, a lot of people don't even know about that. But they don't, and if you did tell them what was going on with that, they don't believe that that's what's happening, because they will tell you that that project has been ended. It was ended in the 1940s, which is a lie, because it's still obvious. I mean, it's going on, but it's so far beyond. But Lance, what you're talking about is really, in my view, it is definitely two different kinds of beings. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking the psychopath slash alien slash archon. You know, whatever. They overlap and they can be the same thing, but these are creatures, you know, who have not value of the spiritual realms. They don't have the spiritual quality that you're talking about. It's just not there. And the problem is that people who have it can't imagine that such creatures exist. This is the hard part. We have to get past this. This is step A, and we can't go past step A until we have that understanding. And for people to understand this, it will require them to do a lot of research and a lot of searching, and it will take time. And then once you realize that you're dealing with, you know, psychopathic alien beings who are not like you, who do not share your values, who do not want the same thing, who do not have inner light, and their goals are to live off of you or to annihilate you. And once they realize that, then we can move on to step B and figure out what it is that we need to do. But this first piece is what we need to understand. The reason that there is such a heinous and horrible situation happening on the planet, many situations happening on the planet, is because these are not human beings doing this. I think everybody, you know, a lot of light workers or good, decent people are saying, man, you know, one day they're going to learn, you know, they're going to see that it's wrong, and they read these things and they shake their head and walk away and they, oh God, you know, one day they'll get it, you know, or when are they going to learn, or, you know, maybe they need, I don't know how many more lifetimes, or how much more compassion, or how much more Hail Marys in the church. You know,
right.
You know how many of those to say. I don't know what they think these people need. This entire planet's history is one of war, death, destruction, pain, suffering, and torture, where good people are always at the bottom of this barrel, right?
Yep.
We need to look at the entirety of human history. People can only look at the duration of their personal life. This is as far as they can see, if they look that far. But we're talking about the entirety of human history. And people are not understanding that there is an alien presence on this planet. It's not going to happen. It's not something we should be looking up at the skies for. It's something that's already here. It's been done. That's why this place is so messed up.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right.
This is the first realization that has to happen.
Yes. Yep. It's already happened. The aliens have already taken over. They did that a lot, hundreds of thousands of years ago, if you really
want to
go back.
A long time ago.
Millions of years, if you want
to. And they're
to go
trying
that far
to now. Interbreed with us. I just, you know, somebody sent another article. Oh, look how nice the angels want to merge with us. And they said, and I quote, "Our kind wishes to merge with your kind."
Oh, no.
What does this mean? And why do they want to merge with us, right? A species that fights and kills each other, right? Men who kill anything and everything they can get their hands on, and they rape their own women and starve their own children and rape their own children. Why would an angelic species want to merge with a kind of species that does that? Why? Right? This is not angelic, right?
So,
this alien thing, and then they're talking about this this genetics and this 2045.com, which is a place that I think everybody needs to visit. I think everybody needs to visit 2045.com and see the genetic stuff that people are trying to do, and I think this is entirely alien as well. They're really trying to make us into something that they are. They're half artificial intelligence, and they're trying to merge with the divinity of, you know, the biology of the divine one, which is the human being. I'll call it human being, because they think that they can acquire this soul or spiritual essence or something or whatever it is that we have that they don't have. We have something they don't. And they want it really, really bad. And human beings are not seeing this. They're not seeing. They have this essence. They don't know what it's like to be an artificial intelligence. So they think everybody is like them, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, they just need more love, you know. No. Yeah. No, they're foreigners. And
absolutely.
They've been here.
They're interlopers. They're interlopers that came in and basically raped and pillaged and took over the native population and then altered it genetically and have been playing God with us ever since. And until we wake up and realize this, we won't realize that this is all a matrix.
Yep.
And that we're being controlled at every level imaginable, not just in 3D, but in 4D and 5D and 1D and 2D. It is everywhere. It is everywhere you look, see, eat, all the five senses, and the only place you don't find it is in the subtle senses. But that's because most people's subtle senses haven't turned on. They're shut down.
Right.
The pineal gland is calcified due to fluoride because the pineal gland is like a magnet for inorganic fluoride. And it literally calcifies the pineal gland. Now, there are pros and cons about the pineal gland, but if they're trying to get that to calcify so badly, then it must have some kind
of... Which they've done, right?
Yes, which they've done, yes. And the only way that I've learned how to decalcify it comes from Andrew Norton Weber's research and work, which shows that drinking distilled water removes the inorganic chemicals and toxic fluoride, and all of that stuff gets washed out. It's a magnetic force that the distilled water...
That's what he says, Lance, but I've been doing this for 2 years, and I know you've been doing this, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if... I can't say I've had my pineal gland cleansed or washed out. Do you know of anybody that's had their pineal gland cleansed or removed of calcification, and they know this for a fact, and what the results look like? If anybody out there has had their pineal gland cleansed and can tell me what that exactly looks like and feels like and what happens after you've had it cleansed and what's the difference between before and after, I really, really want to know, because I haven't heard from anybody. I keep hearing people repeating what is being, you know, reported about things that about what these things are supposedly do, but I haven't heard of anyone who's had it done and what it really looks like once the pineal gland has been cleansed. I've been drinking distilled water. I haven't noticed a difference.
Well,
personally,
I have, and there are enough word of mouth stories that it has worked on the body to heal numerous systems inside the body, including eyesight and calcification of the bones, and it washes out a lot of the toxic products that come in, and that's enough for me. But there are a lot of people who've had awakenings and light that has come into their. There was one kid that did it because his grandmother, her eyesight had improved. This is a story that was told to me. And she had started drinking distilled water for whatever reason. And she went to have her driver's test, and instead of needing glasses, they said, well, your eyes are, you're seeing clearly. You don't need to get your license. So the eye doctor asked her what she was doing, and she said it was the distilled water. Well, her grandson started drinking it, and apparently after about a month or so, now these are anecdotal stories, but he was starting to experience light. His eyes were closed, and he was filled with light. He said, I can't shut it off. It's like this light inside my head. And we don't know for sure, but I do think that it's a cheap way to certainly subvert the system. We don't want fluoride in our bodies. We don't want our bodies to have to, so that at least at that level, at the body level, I think we owe it to our body to reduce the stress on our bodies as much as possible. And for me, that's taken the form of eating organic foods and things that do not have chemicals. And it's really rough because just about all the food in the grocery stores is dead. Yeah, I can see now. I see things that I didn't see before, and I think that's a result of keeping my body flushed out. I use reverse osmosis as well. But I can see and sense when a food is alive or dead, and 90% of the food in a grocery store is dead food, whether it's canned or meat that's just been killed that's out there on the shelves, or vegetables that are, they have no nutrients and certainly no subtle phytochemicals in them, which are the ones that our body needs in order to feed the subtle bodies. Our subtle bodies are dying. We can stay alive with our bodies walking around, and that's a zombie. And if you see pictures of people walking in New York, crowds, and you see them walking
this is what I see all the time. Yeah.
They're zombies. Why? Because the subtle bodies have shut down. There's no nutrients in the food. People go out and they have hamburgers or whatever, fast food. They're further degrading their system. They're not putting any living food. They're not getting any chi or prana. They're not getting it from the air because in cities, it's toxic. And they're drinking regular tap water and having cocktails and the rest of it. So, it snuck up. It's like being a frog boiling in a pot. When my grandparents were around, they grew their own food. And food tasted good. I mean, there were peaches that came off the tree, hundreds of peaches, and you couldn't stop eating them. They were so sweet and tasteful, and the nectar from it was just like the nectar of the gods.
Right.
I have not tasted peaches like that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I haven't found any at any health food store and certainly not at any of the big box stores. And so the food that you're getting, it looks like food, but they only put enough basic nutrients in it to give it color and make it appear to be food. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't most food that you get at the store taste like cardboard or it's flavorless or tasteless? It doesn't taste good. You don't want to eat it. No wonder kids don't want to eat their vegetables. They're dead. They're sitting there, they're looking at this dead food, and kids know. They're connected to, their higher senses. They still haven't been completely brainwashed. And people are serving dead food, and it's like, I don't want to eat that. Well, why not? It doesn't taste good. Well, let's add some salt some seasoning.
Yeah. Well, prana and chi is not understood here. I mean, what do Americans, I don't think even Americans refer to that energy. It's not even talked about here, is it? I mean, because the terms we're using come from India and Asia.
That's
we don't even have a term for it here, right? Maybe life force?
I don't know. You're right.
It's not even talked about. It's not even recognized. You know, but
that there's a life
we
force.
Need to connect more with it as much as possible. We have to walk barefoot. We have to eliminate that rubber between our feet and the earth, because we need that. This is where the prana comes up from and feeds us, I think, is coming from the earth itself. Because they've done experiments with people that have either gone into space or have gone into, you know, tunnels or rooms and chambers underground that have been completely sealed off, and these people immediately suffered emotional breakdown and depression, despondency, lethargy, lack of brain function, and could only just, you know, lay down because they didn't have the magnetic field or chi that comes from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as soon as they gave them, you know, that back, as soon as they were, you know, able to take that back in, they came to themselves again. And this is what's happening with people wearing shoes or rubber between themselves and their feet, right? And they have a name for it now. They call it earthing.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
To walk barefoot as if they discovered a new thing that people have been doing since the beginning of time, you know, is having their feet on the earth, right? I mean,
yes.
But we have to do this because we have to get some energy, and the earth will also take out negative energies that are through the body that are not able to be contained. The earth can take those in as well.
That's right. And walking barefoot on bare earth and grass and the rest of it, there's an electromagnetic charge that is released from the body, so there's energy.
Tell me about it. That's what I was doing with that transformer blue. I was walking barefoot in the earth back and forth.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Yeah.
I've been rototilling, and every once in a while, I will just take my shoes and socks off and walk in the earth, and it's amazing the messages that come through the earth. You know, we are message machines. We are channels of energies, and they come up from the earth, and they come up from the sky, and from the sun, and from everything is speaking to us, the birds, the bees. And when we're really tuning, and we close the circuit by earthing and, you know, being outside and doing things in nature, we're tuning into a frequency that most people don't have access to. And it's amazing to the messages, the subtle messages. You can start to understand what birds are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You get messages like I'll find something is coming within my attention, and I'll look over, and it's a beautiful butterfly that will dance around me and say hello. And it's really quite magical. And the fairies and the divas and the elementals are still with us too. That's something that people don't. Talk about too much, but it's starting to come into
sad.
We need to talk to each other more and talk about these things that we think, they'll think I'm crazy. That's exactly what people need to start talking about. Open your damn mouths. Start telling each other, you know,
I
thought this was happening, but, you know, it could be something. And don't justify it. Just say, this was my experience. I experienced this, and don't be afraid to tell people. And a lot of people are going to be shunning you, but you will find somebody out there that will say, you know what, I had a similar experience. And that gets two people going and validating, and that's the real world that we're talking about now.
Right.
The real world is not this artificial construct of telephones and cell towers and jobs and careers and consumerism and the rest of it, and marketing and control that we're being funneled down like cattle being led to the slaughter. No, the real world is our inner world, and that's the world we're afraid to express, and that creates a repressed shadow, and then that comes out in inappropriate ways. So, I didn't mean to get on a rant there, but you got me rolling on that one. Oh.
No.
And another thing.
Be ranted about. Oh, go on.
Furthermore, on this same subject. Sun gazing is a wonderful way to pull in subtle energies that are beyond the spectrum of anything that we know of. you can gaze at the sun. I would look up sun gazing and find out how to do it without hurting yourself, but especially at dusk when the sun is setting and in the morning when it's coming up, you can soften your gaze and you can commune with the sun and you can get messages and energies. And it, after, I think, 30 days, if you continue to do that for a certain period of time, you literally do not need, your body does not need to eat anymore. So there is the cure to starvation and hunger right there. If food starts to become scarce, people should start sun gazing and earthing, and they won't need to eat.
They
won't need to consume physical food anymore. It's something that we don't really have to do. So that's another little tip from Zany tonight.
Yeah, and if they do it, they should do it barefoot as well.
Yes.
I don't know if you mentioned that. I don't know if you said that.
Well, if I didn't, you did, and thank goodness.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
I
that should
my,
be done with your
mirror.
Feet on the earth as well. And the energy that comes in through the eyes, the light that comes in through the eyes is information, and it's energy, it's prana. And I do sun gazing sometimes as long as I can be up at that time and be outside. I do it. And I especially love it, actually, at sunset. That's my favorite.
I like it best at sunset, too. I find it very soothing and inspirational.
Yeah.
Energetic. It's energizing. And you actually feel the communications and the movement of the sun's energy is like, it's almost hypnotic. It's quite a lot of fun, and kids love to do it. You know, if you have kids, take your kids out and do that, you know, safely.
Well, look at the behavior of people who are sun gazing, right? You know them by their fruits. This is for me like the bottom line of everything, right? You know them by their fruits. So look at the people who do sun gazing, right? Look at their behavior, how calm they are, right? They're very calm. Mm-hmm. And I know when when I'm doing sun gazing, I can walk slowly, meditatively, or I refer to it as mindfully. I walk mindfully. I'm very present in the moment. I'm watching my feet. I feel everything. I'm very much in my body. Once I've done sun gazing, I feel very expansive, very, you know, I feel very large, like my spirit feels very large and expansive, and there's really not much happening in my mind, but I have this big, like, circumference of space that I am filling up with just presence, you know, with just presence, and it's very sublime, it's very wonderful. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the differences between eating living foods that are, you know, plucked fresh from the ground that you grow yourself, and I predict that there will be a huge movement.
Well, you're doing this now. So why don't you talk a little bit about that then? You're gardening and you're doing stuff, and you know, what brought you to start doing this, and how does it make you feel as you're doing it?
Well, I have the space to do it out here in the Sierra Nevadas, a few acres of land that my father left to me, and I'm working on establishing a healing center on the property, and as part of that, I want to be completely as self-sufficient with food as possible. I want to grow food that is connected to the land and to my energy and the books, the Ringing Cedar books, where, you know, you do certain things to increase the subtle energies of the seeds when you're planting them. And I'm experimenting. And a friend sent me the book on the Findhorn Garden in the UK, and it's an amazing book. So this is nothing new. People have been doing this for thousands of years, but it's new to me to try to commune with the nature spirits and ask them, well, what would you like to? It's a co-creation, and sometimes I'll just move around in the garden and I don't know what I'm doing. Well, most of the time I don't know what I'm doing, but I will get I'm guided and I'll just automatically move because a plant will have me move over and then pick it up and move it someplace and plant it, and it says thank you. It's an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to have food that tastes good, that is nutritious, that I can pull it right off the plant, off the trees, the plants and vines and the rest of it, and share it with other people. And, you know, share the bounty, because we all have the ability to create bounty. And, you know, it's energy unlocked when you use it. And it feels good to grow your own food. It's just to get your hands in the soil and come up with some worms and find the little bugs and insects that are in there. They're all our friends. You know, I love all of these things. I love insects and animals and spiders and, you know, the only thing I don't love are flies and gnats, you know, mosquitoes. But
mm-hmm. Me too, yeah.
Those are reptilian inventions, so we can get rid of those eventually.
Some things just don't belong.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a wonderful experience. And besides which, you know, with a little bit of investment, you save money. Because if you're not eating organically, you're getting food that has no, just maybe a fraction of a percent of nutrition, just enough to keep your body alive. Your soul,
right.
Your spirit needs higher, subtle energies.
There and it is. That's it. That's the important piece. I knew we would hit on something that's important. This
yep.
is it. That's the piece.
This is
okay?
It,
we need to expand on that. There is a reason why growing food became an industry, why it was taken away from gardeners and small farmers, why farmers are harassed. Why do
yes.
organic farmers get harassed? I mean, think about this. Who would harass organic farmers for not using chemicals? Right?
Yes.
Organic
yes.
farmers are harassed. They're told they need to shut down. They need to follow certain reptilian protocols. They need to do this, that, and the next thing. And they have, you know, all of these regulations upon regulations upon regulations that force them to prove that they're organic. I mean, man, you know, they're just organic. Leave them alone, right? It's the ones who have the pesticides and the chemicals and all of this. These are the ones that need to be questioned and investigated.
Yes.
But the food industry, that's the problem right there. Food became an industry. It should never have become an industry.
Right.
That's like child trafficking becoming an industry.
Yeah.
Children
yeah.
for sex becoming an industry. Okay?
Yes.
Food is the same thing, all right? Food is our friend. Plants are our friends, and whoever doesn't understand this is an alien.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes,
that's it.
Yes, I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Or you're a person that really needs to investigate this.
You need
and
some
understand
help.
Why. Because this is
right.
an entire book, you know, to talk about why you need to know why plants and trees are our friends. They're not just there to feed us. They're
right.
our friends. They contain a consciousness. A higher
yes.
consciousness of the earth, right?
Yes.
So here is the agenda. Food has become industrialized. We've taken out of the hands of the people themselves who are seeking to grow food for spiritual reasons. And we're supposed to be eating for spiritual reasons, not for biological ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes an industry to take your focus away from what should be deep and intimate and personal, which is your personal relationship with the soil and the plants,
mm-hmm.
right? And they made it an industry where food is mass-produced with chemicals to be, you know, huge, and therefore you're distanced from it. So you just go to a market and choose stuff, and you bring it home and you eat because you're just feeding now your biology.
Right, right. There's no food for the soul there.
There is no food for the soul there. The food for the soul
no
is grown by yourself.
There's,
it has your information
right.
in that food, you know, through your saliva or your urine. It has
yep.
your information in there. It's personal, it's intimate, and it grows its nutrients specifically tailor-made for that individual. There is a relationship there, and it's a conscious one with
yes.
the plant, from the plant, I should say.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Now the relationship between our best friend, our spiritual aspect, has been cut off. It has been become an industry where now you're just feeding your biology. So that was another way that they cut off our spirituality, right?
Mm. Yes, exactly. We don't even know where this food comes from. It's just there. And so we're disconnected from that. It's no wonder that people are disconnected from their own souls.
Yes.
That is the disconnect.
And it's intentional. This is all intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, it is all intentional. This is not just a conspiracy. This is a fact. It's going on right now. And all you have to do is look around and see it. Television, distractions, drugs, alcohol, the whole thing. It is all a maze. It's the earthly maze. And people are stuck in it, and they literally cannot get out. They can't leave their jobs because what will they do? I won't have health insurance, blah, 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 blah. Well, we have solutions to those questions, but we'll get into those in another show. But, yes, this is really important stuff. If you want to be more than just a zombie walking around in a body that works and talks, but it's not conscious and it has no, and the spirit is just barely hanging on, that's what brings about disease. The spirit is trying to tell you, there's something I'm missing, and it gives you cancer, or it gives you this, or it gives you that, and it's trying to say, there's something that's not right. Please look at this. And you go into the hospital. They can't do anything because it's allopathic medicine, and it doesn't work on the subtle levels, and they don't believe in it.
Right,
they
it's
don't
the
believe
same
in
mentality
spirit.
That made food an industry, right?
Yes.
They have separated
the
spirit from the
one.
Person.
Yes. Yes, exactly. There's no spirit in this. We couldn't see it with science. That's preposterous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at one point the Earth was square, wasn't it, or flat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're still living on a flat Earth, and science and technology is promoting it. So we need to break
our
out of
science.
That.
And our technology, meaning the common masses, right? But the technology
yes, right.
and science of the military and that industry, they've advanced. They're far away. They're 10,000 years into the future already.
Yes,
and what they're
yeah.
teaching in the schools is still the same old primitive crap that they know is a lie. And
exactly.
In the meantime, they're using these advanced technologies for themselves, time traveling and doing all kinds of things like that.
Exactly.
Having clones and rejuvenation within minutes and things like that.
Exactly.
It's very frustrating.
It is. And in a future show, I want to delve into that subject more about the secret space program, the hidden bases that are going on. And that's a huge subject, and there are a lot of people talking about this stuff. But I think that it's time for us to, you know, shed some more light on it because we're going down a very dark road, and if we don't start waking up, we're going to end up where we're going.
Yeah.
And, you know,
end up where we're going.
Yeah, and I just read, you know, that the CEO of Nestle Corporation that brings you chocolate, says
yeah.
water is not a human right.
It's a privilege.
It is not a human right, and according to the former CEO, and now chairman of the largest food product manufacturer in the world, corporations should own every drop of water on the planet, and you're not getting any unless you pay up.
That's right. That's what he said. And, yeah, and he says it is a privilege. It is not a natural right. Can you imagine? This is alien, right?
It's alien.
Who tells you that the planet that you were born on, you can't drink that water unless you pay for it? Who tells you that but a fucking foreigner.
Yes, exactly.
I mean,
so,
I looked at this man who said that. I mean, I went to look at his face to see his eyes, and that's a reptile. That's a reptile.
Oh, yeah, they're reptilians, yes. And they're installed in the top positions. They're not in all of them, mind you. Not all of the people that are CEOs of major corporations are that. But they're there, and they're beyond it, and they're controlling, and they're watching, and they're moving, and they're making changes outside of our time frame. Now, we're almost out of time. This show is going by really fast, but I wanted to put in a plug real quickly for the Wachowski brothers' new movie. You know, they did the Matrix trilogy, and they came out with a new movie on souls that incarnate at different times, and it is absolutely wonderful. It's got some incredible messages and visuals, and it's called Cloud Atlas. And it's available on to rent, And I, you know, if you like the Wachowski brothers' work, buy their DVD for crying out loud, and watch it a few times because it's a magnificent piece of work, and it's and it basically points out what we're talking about here tonight. Serena,
yes?
My dear, we're out of time. Is there anything really important that you want to end on?
Just that we're going on a little bit of information here. We've touched on a lot of topics. We plowed through them really quickly, and we are going to be, stepping down a little bit and taking them apart and looking at them a little more closely and getting into it rather than just, rolling on and on and on with so much information. And that's what I look forward to, because that's when it gets really fun, when we get into those details. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this will be happening in the future.
Yep. So come back next week and tell all your friends about the show. Get everybody you know to listen, because we're going to be covering some stuff that you won't hear in any of the other shows. So thank you to Serena. We had a great show, and we'll see you next week. And good night, everybody.